Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from Independence Hall here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, as I'm sure you're all aware.
I'm not.
This week.
What are you talking about?
We're celebrating Independence Suspension Day.
Oh!
218 years ago, this week, the first Conestoga.
Wait, this sounds like a crock. Are you making this up?
Tommy, the first Conestoga wagon switched over to fully independent suspension. And any year now, I'm sure the Jeep Cherokee will do the same.
Actually, I saw a Conestoga wagon down in San Antonio. You know that park that was next to where we were?
Yes.
And it had four-wheel independent suspension.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just like the Jeep Cherokee
like
will
the
someday.
Jeep Cherokee is working toward.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Frank. How you guys doing?
Good. Frank! Everyone right, Frank. We know is named Frank.
Yeah, well, you know, I do what I can.
What are you, where are you from, Frank?
I'm originally from Brooklyn, but I reside in Florida now. I'm a Boy Scout distributor down here.
No kidding?
Yes, sir.
You got any of those spiral cut hams?
You know I do. I got a gross at him just coming in today. A truckload came in today.
Yeah, did they fall off the truck? Those are the ones we'd be interested in.
I fell off the truck a few times myself.
The ones that don't make it to the loading dock.
FOT, man. fell off truck.
I caught you guys' show. I was driving home, and I happened to be flipping through the channels, and I caught your show, and I immediately got my attention, and I immediately thought of the problem I was having with my car. And I said, maybe these guys can help me out.
Go for it, Frank. We're
Frank,
ready, man.
Any buddy of ours from Brooklyn, we will do everything in our power.
That's what I like to hear.
To lead you astray.
Well, here's what's happening, gentlemen. I got a Mitsubishi Montero Sport. I got 40,000 miles on it.
Company pays for it?
Company pays for it.
Good.
Well, I'm making some heck of a commute, but
yeah.
That's obviously going to be over. But here's what's happening.
Well, driving back and forth from Brooklyn to Miami, that's got to put some miles.
I'm telling you, it's out of control. Actually, I drive up to the Treasure Coast, and it's about an hour and a half,
yeah.
You know, one way. So I'm spending about 3 hours driving this car every day. And what's happening is whenever I accelerate, because I do enjoy accelerating, it makes a squeaking noise, but it's really only when I accelerate hard. What happens is this, it's a V6, but this car doesn't have nearly the power. I used to drive a Ford Explorer, and it had some power. This thing, you push the gas, and it says, what? Are you talking to me? So likewise, it says, yes, I'm talking to you, and I push hard on the gas, and it bounces back to first gear, and then it goes, wee! It starts making this funny noise.
Just like that? A squealing noise like that?
A squealing noise. Only when I push on the gas and it downshifts and the RPMs go up.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know what's causing that. And I'm kind of worried because now, obviously, at 40,000, you know, I'm going to move the car and go into something else now because I'm not going to be putting that kind of mileage on because I'm relocating.
Right, right. And you don't need a sport utility in Florida. I mean, what do you need this for?
I'm very sporty, guys.
All right. That's it.
Well,
this thing has 40K on it, and you only hear the noise when you downshift, and the noise is coming from under the hood.
It's coming from under the hood. It's an automatic, though, so it downshifts on its own when I get frustrated and it doesn't go. And
yeah,
I push
and
harder.
You floor it.
Now, what's happening, fortunately, is
this
something
is not serious.
Minor.
Okay, cool.
The belt is slipping.
I see.
This vehicle has one belt, one serpentine belt that drives everything, power steering, air conditioning, water pump. And because it has 40,000 miles on it, it's probably cracked and somewhat worn out and glazed.
I see.
So when you stomp on that gas pedal to try to get this dog to move,
right.
You're making the RPM go very quickly from what it was, maybe 2,000 up to, say, 4,000.
Right.
And when that happens, the belt, which is going to keep pace with the engine, begins to slip.
Yeah, and the RPMs are going up even faster because it downshifts.
Right.
So the RPMs obviously go up when you stomp on the pedal,
okay.
And then when it downshifts, the RPMs go up even more.
Right. Okay. So
either that or the engine's getting ready to blow. One or the other.
Oh man!
But I think it's just a belt. And what I would do, because you have 40K on it, I would take it to the Mitsubishi dealer and
right.
ask them to put a new belt on.
Right.
And I bet you the noise will go away.
Okay. Cool. Let me ask you something else real quick. Do you guys have any suggestions? Obviously, I want the power, and it's a V6, and I'm not getting the power.
Well, the one for you, Frank, is the Grand Cherokee V8.
Oh,
you gotta! I can tell
he's salivating already.
I said the magic words. Is that worth a couple of hams, or is that worth a couple of hams?
Oh my goodness gracious! I think you're right.
There you go.
You know something? You've opened my eyes. I think that's what I'm gonna do.
I'm glad your eyes are open. As long as you're driving, keep them open.
Well, sometimes they close, but. You know.
Take it easy, Frank.
Thanks for calling, Frank.
I really appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Have a great day.
Bye. You too.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mabel.
Mabel?
Mabel.
Yeah. Well, that's a seldom heard name.
Isn't it, though? It's very Victorian.
It's Victorian.
It's Victorian.
Mabel.
I'm one of the last survivors with the name Mabel.
Gee, I thought it was more Brooklynese, actually.
Mabel.
Well, actually, you're right. My mother was born in Brooklyn. How could you guess?
From the Victorian section of Brooklyn,
Yes, there was a Victorian section in Brooklyn.
Where are you from now, Mabel?
I'm from Aspen now.
Colorado.
So what's up, Mabel?
Well, I have a 1982 Subaru station wagon.
Mm-hmm.
When we've been tooling around town for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and I stopped her, parked, and then I get in and start it, we have this terrible sound that sounds as if I had started the...
car while it was running.
Yeah, while it was running. Mm. With this awful sound that sounds like a chihuahua in pain.
Waffle.
Terrible. When does this occur?
Waffle?
You say waffle? Where did this occur?
Wait a minute. Did you say waffle?
She said awful. She said she was from Brooklyn.
Well,
it's awful.
You're only recently a resident of Aspen, Colorado.
No, 30 years.
30 years.
And but you still say waffle?
You never forget.
You never forget.
Say this word for us. D-O-G.
Dog?
Oh, dog. Mabel, I love it.
What else?
C-O-F-F-E-E.
Coffee.
Oh, no, that was good.
That was good?
You lost it on that, but...
I passed through the Midwest, and I lost some of it.
You lost some of it, yeah.
But dog was still there, man.
Dog was very telling.
Dog was there.
All right, now back to the issue. When does this ugly noise occur?
So it occurs not when I start her up from cold.
Right.
But when we've been tooling around town, and I start her up from warm.
Yeah, okay.
Does this have an automatic transmission? No.
No.
And you get the sound.
Yeah, well, it's more... You know that high, awful sound?
Then
I'll turn it off because it scares me to death, and I'll go, you know, do ritual or have an ice cream cone or something, and come back, and she's fine. So it doesn't happen all the time. It's very, very intermittent.
I'm not sure I get it.
I'm not sure I get the noise either.
Oh, God.
Is it clanging of metal pieces together?
It could be, but it's...
Is it...
That's it!
I hit it?
Oh, marvelous. That's it.
Now, if only we knew what that noise was.
Well, it
sounds to me like the starter isn't engaging all the way.
Ew. Yeah.
The way the starter works is when you turn the key, among other things that happens, a little gear jumps out and engages, meshes with,
yeah.
The teeth of the flywheel, and that's what makes the engine turn over and start the car.
That little gear that jumps out from the shaft of the starter on a piece called the starter drive.
Okay.
And it sounds like the gear is not coming all the way into the flywheel, and so what's happening is... Because it's hitting the teeth.
Okay.
I would think the starter is bad.
So,
we know, when things get hot...
Yeah.
Resistance goes up.
Is that right?
Yeah. You may remember that from a high school physics.
That's very good. I've written hot arrow, resistance arrow. Okay.
Good.
That's good.
Good, good, good.
And when resistance goes up, as you remember, E equals IR. So current
IR.
Goes down.
Okay.
And when the current goes down...
He's about to say something stupid here.
No, I'm not.
No,
No, no, I'm going to keep going until you say something stupid.
Okay.
When the current goes down, the amount of power, which is what makes everything turn, goes down because the power is I squared R. How am I doing so far?
She's doing great.
I squared R.
It's all
twinkle,
coming.
Twinkle, little star.
Did you write
power
down?
Equals I squared R.
That's it.
Okay,
since you don't have enough power, that gear doesn't go all the way in where it's supposed to go. It only goes part way, and it ends up going gang, 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 gang.
I mean,
so
you could also...
Line,
Yes.
Is a new starter.
That's the bottom line.
Okay.
Well, have your mechanic take out the starter and examine the flywheel. Turn the thing 360 degrees. Make sure you don't have chewed up teeth on the flywheel.
Right.
Also test the battery, because even though the starter resistance does go up, if the battery isn't putting out enough energy, it will prevent the car from starting too. So make sure that the battery and the charging system are sound before you go ahead and just replace the starter motor, on our advice.
Okay.
So you want a full workup, electrical
right.
system
workup. Electrical diagnosis. But we're suggesting that probably the bottom line will be, after he does this, a
so
new starter.
Check the battery and the charging system first.
Yes,
and then...
exactly.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then if that checks out all right, then check the flywheel. If that checks out all right, throw a starter in it.
Okay.
Good luck, Mabel.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, power equals I squared R? Where'd
yeah.
you learn that? Is that what they taught you at MIT? You go to MIT, the finest institution of higher learning in the world, and you sit there in class, and some guy with six PhDs says, twinkle, twinkle, little star, power equals I squared R?
It's the only thing I remember.
Does your mother know this? How much did she pay for this? Hey, Mom, I went to MIT today. I just came back from class. What'd you learn,
twinkle,
little
twinkle, little star, power,
power
equals...
equals... Did she pat you on the head and give you a dope
I got
slap.
A dope slap.
And she said, poverty's holding me.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Kelly, and I'm calling from Monterey, California.
Monterey.
Kelly, your name is?
Yeah, my name is Kelly.
Okay.
Happened in Monterey.
Yeah, it's pretty nice here, except right now we're all fogged in.
Yeah, well, it happens. You live there in that silly state of California.
Yeah, but they told me it was going to be sunny.
Yeah, they lied, didn't they?
Yeah, they
what did the
did.
Postcard say? Sunny California.
Yeah.
It's always foggy.
It's always either foggy or too cold.
So what's
right.
Or both.
So what's going on, Kel?
Well, I've got this 92 Chevy pickup truck.
Yeah?
And it's a stick shift.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I drive the car over 120 miles, it has this problem. It doesn't do it if I drive 90 miles or 100 miles.
Mm.
Over 120 miles.
Good. So you're a good data collector.
Yeah.
Before you called us, you made sure that you had some interesting data.
That's right.
I love it.
I've been watching this problem now for about 3 months or so, maybe even longer.
Good
really?
For you.
Yeah. I haven't done anything about it.
It's all right.
I'll drive 120 miles, and I'll let the truck set. If I let it set for an hour or 24 hours, it doesn't matter. I get back in the truck. I put the thing in first gear, let the clutch out, and it makes this rubbing noise. It sounds like metal on metal. It's not a grind, but it's a rub. It's like vrrr. And then I shift it into second gear. It does the same thing. Third gear does the same thing. I'll drive it for about 15 minutes or so, and then it'll go away.
It happens as you're putting it into gear
yeah.
or after you're engaging
Actually,
the clutch?
It can happen as I'm putting it into gear, and then it'll be kind of quiet, and I'll start letting out the clutch, and it'll do it again.
When it's happening, do you ever feel a vibration
oh,
in
exactly
the pedal?
Exactly my question.
I'm not sure. I think it's if it is, it's pretty subtle.
Ah.
I can actually feel it in the stick shift, too.
Ah! That's good.
You all right?
You
need another antacid?
Well, I don't have an answer because I can't explain the 120-mile thing yet.
Mm.
I'm working on it.
Don't let that slow you down. See,
Melissa,
you can't be worried with all the details.
Yeah, but
I mean,
yeah.
If you've got the big picture, that might be good enough. The other stuff may just fall into place.
And it might even be irrelevant.
Well, yeah. And more importantly, your detractors may not be able to prove that you're wrong, like the Big Bang Theory.
Like exactly. I mean, who
I
the
can't
heck
get it to a mechanic because when it does it, by the time I get it to an auto shop, it's gone.
Sure, unless you go to a place 120 miles
yeah,
away,
that's right.
In which case he's got no motivation to help you because he doesn't know who you are.
I imagine you've done the, maybe you haven't, but hopefully you've done the obvious, like checking the level of oil in the transmission.
Well, that's what I was thinking that I better do, and I've talked to people and they go, oh, you never need to change the transmission oil.
Well, you don't know.
No, but you're going to have oil.
Okay.
Right, you may not need to change it, but having it's good.
Having it is important, yeah.
And this requires getting under the truck
uh-huh.
and taking, there's a plug on the side, and taking the plug out.
All right.
And as soon as you put your finger in there, you should touch fluid.
All right.
And in fact, if the truck is leaning a little bit, it should come pouring out on your chin.
Oh, great.
If there's no fluid in there, then you may have cooked the transmission.
Mm. Good.
Now, why it goes away or why...
I don't think it's in the tranny.
No, I don't think it is either. I think you have a release bearing or throat bearing that's binding up on the collar.
Okay.
This the throat bearing is held by a fork, which gets actuated by your clutch pedal, and the throat bearing slides on a collar on the transmission.
All right.
And it could be that that is worn out and causing chattering.
Yeah.
So you may need to have the transmission yanked out. You may need to, you know, you've got how many thousands of miles on this thing?
Forget about it.
It's only got about 70,000 miles on it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do anything.
Well, you may be able to get someone in there and spray some high temp lube on that collar.
Okay.
Yeah. Go into the auto parts store and look for something that says Miracle on it. That's a powerful word.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah. Very evocative. But take the thing into a shop. Have them put it on the lift.
Yeah.
Tell them what we think it is. Have them first check the transmission oil level. Okay. When they determine that that's okay, see if they can spray some lubricant onto the throat bearing fork and the collar on the transmission. And that might, and if it makes it go away for at least a while, you'll know that
at least that diagnosis was correct.
And when it comes back, you'll need to replace probably the fork and the pivot ball and all that stuff.
All right.
See you, Kelly.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Good luck.
Bye.
Hey, it's time for me, by the way, to ask you whether you remember last week's puzzler.
And it's time for me to tell you, of course not.
Well, I'll refresh your memory. The puzzler was from my bogus coins series.
Aha! The bogus quarters.
Yes, and I'll have the whole story in just a minute, so don't go anywhere. Down at the corner of 7th and Main, cruising down the road in a blue fair lane. She's not too fast and she's not too slow. Half an hour drive takes an hour or so. The only damn thing that I can afford, a straight 662 two-door Ford. Bond or primer in the cheap blue paint. Keep the window down or you just might faint. She's got no exhaust and she makes a lot of smoke. Gotta keep your hand on the manual choke. The only damn thing that I can afford, a straight 662 two-door Ford.
And even though the CDC worries about potential shortages of the Car Talk antidote whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast of Car Talk comes from Trunk Club, a men's outfitting service. Now, Trunk Club is designed for guys who don't have the time to go shopping, and even if they did, would rather swim through a lake of starving piranhas than shop for clothes. And here's how it works. After signing up, you will be matched with your own personal stylist who, after getting to know your preferences, will handpick a selection of premium clothing, pack it in a trunk, and ship it all straight to your door. You'll have 10 days to try everything on, keep what you love, and send the rest back. I wonder if we can get greaseproof Kevlar tuxedos with black patent steel-toed shoes and a dozen asbestos ascots for the guys at the garage. See what Trunk Club can do for you. You only pay for what you keep, and shipping is free both ways. Get started at trunkclub.com/cartalk. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. And this came via email from someone named Clive Woods, and it's entitled Another Coin-Weighing Puzzler.
Yeah.
He says, I work in the anti-counterfeit department of the U.S. Treasury. You can imagine how I started to sweat when I read that. I thought he was onto our printing operation at the garage. Anyway, he continues, the other day my assistant was sent 100 U.S. quarters and found that 10 of them were bogus. He sorted the bogus coins into one pile, and then he made 9 more piles of the good quarters. Got it? So he's got 10 piles of 10 coins each.
Got it.
And one of the piles contains all 10 of the bogus quarters. Now, as he's about to process the coins and fill out the paperwork, he gets called away on another urgent matter, something about a printing press in Cambridge. Yeah, I don't know. On his way out, he says, hey, Clive, take care of these quarters, will you? One pile of these is off by a gram per coin.
Off by, yeah.
He leaves, and I realize I don't know which pile is the bogus pile. All I know is that one pile contains 10 quarters that are either all a gram too light or a gram too heavy. So if a quarter is supposed to weigh, let's say, 10 grams, the bogus quarters weigh either 9 grams each or 11 grams each. Mm-hmm. But I don't know which.
Yeah.
But I have at my disposal a calibrated scale, accurate to within a fraction of a gram.
Wow.
And the question is, how can I figure out which pile is the bogus pile with only one weighing? Now, remember, the counterfeit coins are either heavier than a real coin or lighter than a real coin, and you have only one weighing in which to figure out which are which.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You with me?
I'm with you. In fact, I had a thought.
Well, that was bad.
as Dougie Mayer and I were walking down the hall, he said, "What's the answer?" And I said, "How the heck should I know?" I said, "But the only thing that comes to mind is if he made a weighing by taking one coin from the first pile, two from the second, three from the third."
Well, that's exactly it.
I mean, I didn't take it further than that because I don't know what...
you couldn't count beyond three.
I don't know what I would do with the answer anyway, but that seemed like a good way to go about one weighing.
That's, in fact, the answer. You take one from the first, two from the second, three from the third, et cetera, all the way up to 10, and that gives you 55 coins.
And does this guy know how much a coin is supposed to weigh?
He works for the Treasury Department. I work in the anti-counterfeit department of the U.S. Treasury. Of course he knows what a real coin weighs.
Okay. So he would know that.
He knows what a real coin
weighs. So if he ended up taking one from the first pile, two from the second, three from the third, he would have 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 10.
Right.
Whatever that number comes out to be.
It comes out to be 55. And if a real coin, for example, weighs 10 grams.
It should weigh 550 grams.
Right. If it weighs 548.
Yeah.
Then the bogus pile is the
second
pile.
Second one.
If it weighs...
Or 552.
Or 552 is also the bogus pile is the second pile,
yeah.
But they're heavier
yeah.
and not lighter.
Exactly.
And that's the answer. And do we have a winner?
Wow! I actually almost got it right.
You did. You didn't go beyond three.
The winner this week is Russ Bishop from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. You know what that is?
Of course.
Of course.
Home of Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney Phil. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Russ is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division of CarTalk.com. And with that gift certificate, he can have his choice of any of the CarTalk regalia that we have there.
Hey, look, we're going to have a new, I can't describe it yet because I haven't figured out which puzzle I'm going to use for the season finale.
I was wondering about that. It is the season finale.
Yeah. Well, you missed... This is the seventh game, man. You missed the playoffs. You missed everything.
I did.
So don't tune us out yet because that's coming up, baby. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tim calling from Boston.
Tim.
Boston, Mass.
Boston, Mass. How are you?
Great.
What's going on, man?
I've got an Audi Quattro Coupe, a 1990, and, you know, we're still in love and all that, but the car stalls on me every time I start it when it's cold.
Yeah?
The instant where you go from starting to running the engine, it just dies and it just cuts out totally. So I have to play games with the gas pedal. I have to give it a lot of gas, and it'll run. Once the car warms up a little bit, it idles fine.
So what you do is you get it to start, and you immediately floor it.
Pretty much.
He plays with the gas,
yep.
Right?
You feather it, as we say.
Yeah, I'm playing the clutch and the gas.
And how long does it take on the clock for this condition to clear up?
The car has to get probably 20 minutes, maybe 15.
Oh! So for the first 20 minutes, you're feathering the gas pedal and...
Yeah.
So if you have to stop, you need 3 feet, right? You need one
yes.
for the clutch, one for the brake, and one for the
exactly.
gas pedal.
Exactly, yeah. At a certain point, I'm like, oh, my God, I can use 1 foot again. How nice.
How long does it take for that to sink in? You know, it may be cheaper for you to get a third foot than to fix this. Because this could run into money.
Maybe you could use a stick.
Well, maybe. 90 Audi, huh?
Yes, yeah.
It has a V6 engine.
V5, whatever, five-cylinder.
Five-cylinder.
Yeah.
Oh, those were the days when 6 was too many. For was to fuel.
Yeah, I remember those ads.
Those crazy guys.
Well, I think you have a, if you're lucky, a faulty idle air control valve.
Wouldn't really? That be nice?
Now, you could also have a vacuum leak. Which is usually 20 minutes is
20
way
minutes
too long.
Is a way too. That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, all the theories can't explain the 20-minute thing. This should be over in 5 minutes.
Okay. That doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen.
You might have to go to a shop because I think you could easily have a faulty coolant sensor, which is sending the wrong signal.
See, I like that
to the computer. But I think what you really have, my intuition.
You're feeling vacuum, aren't you?
No, I'm not. No, I feel that you have dirty injectors.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I think you have injectors whose spray pattern is not up to snuff.
Okay.
I don't like that.
What do you like better?
I don't know. I don't like anything at the moment.
How about a hamburger? Like a hamburger with a nice slice of onion?
Onion, yeah. No, I mean, why would it run beautifully when it warms up if it's injectors?
Well, he doesn't know it runs beautifully, but it...
At least it runs with one foot.
It runs...
Are you questioning
the
witness?
Tim, what did you just say?
At least it runs with one foot.
Yeah, it runs, yeah.
But if you're driving around the city and the 20 minutes goes by, when you throw it in neutral at a light, is it running perfectly smoothly?
The idle's a little lower than maybe I want it to be, but not enough to complain.
How's the acceleration off the line?
It's fine.
All right.
You've given all the wrong answers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And as such, we've given you all the wrong answers. You know, I mean, it's only fair.
See, I like the coolant temp sensor.
Yeah, I'm beginning to like that the best of all.
I like it the best of all.
Okay.
But you're going to have to go to a shop, and you're not going to like what they tell you.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but either that or you could live with it.
Okay.
No, he can't. The guy's ready to commit suicide.
No, he's getting used to it. He's growing a third leg.
That's right.
You know, almost every car I've ever owned has had this very symptom. You know, and you do get good at it. It's pretty sad, you do get good at it. And what's good about it, no one's going to steal the
car.
Well,
you know, I was bemoaning the fact recently that we don't have enough jalopies on the road.
It's true.
You know, now in Massachusetts, and I'm sure other states too, we have a stricter inspection code. So not only have we gotten rid of the polluters, and I have no problem with that, but we've at the same time gotten rid of the cars with the bumpers hanging off and the taillights smashed in. And you need a few cars like that to remind you where you came from.
Exactly. Or where you are.
Or where you are. Yeah.
But everything, you can't even get an inspection sticker in Massachusetts anymore if everything isn't perfect. Just the other day, in fact, yesterday, I was driving down the street, I had the windows open, driving my wife's car, and she said, there's a van in front of me that's spewing out all kinds of evil stuff. And she says, oh my God, close the windows, that stink is terrible. And I said, I think it's great. Because it was burning oil. It was, I'm telling you, it was like manna from heaven.
Well, Tim, are you there?
I'm here. Yep.
Coolant temp sensor.
Okay, we'll give that a try.
All right.
Thanks very much.
See you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, poor guy.
Oh, man.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Stella from Dallas.
Stella Dallas?
No, Stella from Dallas.
Wasn't that an old soap opera?
Yes.
If there was, it's before my time.
Well, it is before your time. When I was a little kid, it was 1912, I think.
Yes. I used to right after the great influenza epidemic.
I used to come home from school for lunch when I was about in the third grade, and my mother was always listening.
Of course. To another
Stella,
insipid episode of...
another Stella, insipid episode of Stella Dallas.
Indeed.
So, Stella from Dallas. Stella from Dallas, how are you?
I'm fine.
Great.
What's up?
Well, I need some help with a quasi-automotive issue related to my personal life.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Is it about marriage or anything like that?
Yes.
My brother's the marriage expert.
I'm the marriage counselor.
Well, yeah. I'm not married, and that's part of the problem.
Maybe not.
One of the main thoroughfares that connects downtown Dallas to its suburbs to the north is called the Dallas North Tollway. And there's this giant billboard.
On the way up to Plano, right?
Yes, exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, there's a giant billboard that's visible from the tollway, and this billboard started having personal ads for singles wanting to meet other singles.
No kidding!
One ad read something like, "Tall, handsome surgeon looking for petite blonde to marry."
Yeah.
And another one read, "Blonde bombshell looking for Mr. Rich Wright."
No kidding!
Now, my question is this.
Oh, you want us to help word your personal? Is that what you want?
Well, I need to find out how many words can I put on that billboard so that it'll still be comprehensible to the average 40-something man who's driving to work.
With bad eyesight, slow reflexes.
Bad eyesight.
Yeah.
And part B, should I mention that I'm a lawyer, or do you think that's going to turn off the prospective?
I would leave that out, Stella. Well, maybe not. Do you want to spring it on him later, or just be upfront about it?
Well, I think I'd rather be upfront about it. Otherwise, I'd be worried about Deceptive Trade Practices Act violations.
I have a very good friend who's a lawyer. I won't mention Alex's name on the radio because he could get into trouble. And he always has the question of, if you meet a woman, he says, do you let her know right away that you're a lawyer? Or do you wait until she gets to know you and can realize that you're a human being a little bit and you have fine qualities and then tell her you're a lawyer? And or do you just tell her right up front so that the faint of heart will just not even bother? You're a lawyer? Yeah. And they leave. It's always been a question for him, and it's a question for you, too.
That's right. So how did he resolve it?
He hasn't resolved
it.
He's been divorced 3 times.
What's his phone number?
That's it. You got it, Stella. Stella, you're okay.
Well, all right, give us some vital information here. What should we know about you to help you word this ad?
Well, I'm petite, I'm brunette. I figured saying petite brunette was better than saying short and dark.
Yeah, petite and brunette. Those are two very good words.
I've got a great smile and big brown eyes.
Yeah.
Single, divorced?
Divorced.
D-P-B... Divorce,
no, PBB.
PBJ.
peanut butter
and jelly. What else we?
No, I mean, we have to use.
I think we should use all either acronyms or abbreviations. Well, no words.
See, I think we should go, and we have to use the other side of my expertise here, which is marketing. And you have to think about the target market. And rather than describe what your characteristics are, you have to think about what kind of a man do you want to attract, and then we'll choose the characteristics that will attract that kind of man.
Okay.
So who are you looking for? What's Mr. Wright for you?
Somebody like Dick Cavett. Somebody who's smart and funny, but not funny looking.
Pencil neck geek?
No, that's good. Dick Cavett, you pull that right out. You've thought about this.
Yes, indeed. I've been single for a long time.
All right, then you have to. I would get right to the point. Are you a Dick Cavett type? Call Stella. Right.
Yeah.
Or for a real hot time.
Call Stella. Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that you've described your target so well, Dick Cavett, boy, that's good. Everyone knows what that means. I can see that right away, and I think you should use that.
And the ad has to be Call Stella --Dallas.
Ooh. Oh, you could say Call Stella or else.
No,
or else I'll sue you.
Right, because you are a lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah, you should say, looking for Dick Cavett.
Call Stella.
Call Stella.
Now.
Okay.
Right.
Let us know what happens.
Send us pictures of you and Mr. Dick.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, I was looking for the perfect woman, and I actually found her. Unfortunately, she was looking for the perfect guy.
Yeah, well, although you should be doing something less productive. Even listening to us might be too productive at this time of year. You're instead listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We'll have more of your calls, plus our last puzzler before we send the puzzler on summer vacation.
Is it that time?
Yes, it is. You wouldn't know it by the ambient temperature, but it is that time.
No, you wouldn't.
So don't touch that dial, because if you do, the end of your dipstick may wilt.
Driving down the interstate, I've seen a lot of things. I've seen the hills turn into fields and the rivers turn to streams. A lot of space from here to there and everywhere you go. It's 18 when they're making time on its way back home. Hear that engine whine.
And even the lightning bugs start flashing SOS whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR.
We'd like to take time to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. At TireRack.com, you can view their test results, user ratings, and reviews to help you select the right tires for your car. TireRack.com has over 1 million tires in their warehouse, so you'll never get talked into compromise like I did when I came home with 4 bicycle tires on my 97 Honda Odyssey. At TireRack, when you find the right tires, they can be delivered to a local recommended installer in as little as 1 business day. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. Hi, we're back listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk, of course, about cars, car repair, and the new and final puzzler of this current
season.
There's a rare disease that's sweeping through your town, okay?
Mm.
And of all the people that are exposed to it, 0.1% of the people actually contract the disease. You with me?
Say it again.
0.1% of the people who were exposed.
0.1%. Okay.
Right? It's rare.
Very rare.
It's rare. Yeah. Okay. And there are no symptoms until the disease actually occurs. However, there's a diagnostic test that can detect the presence of the disease up to a year before it strikes. So you can actually seek treatment. Okay?
Yeah.
So you go to your doctor, mm-hmm. and he administers the test. And it comes out positive.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, I'm done for. Then you get a little bit encouraged. You say, wait a minute, Doc. Is this test 100% accurate? And he says, well, not really, but it's 95%
accurate. 95%
accurate. Right. And he says, in other words, 5% of the people who take the test
mm-hmm.
will test positive, but they don't really have it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I like this already. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This, you're going to obfuscate everything here. Right, go ahead. I love it.
So here's the question. What are the chances that you actually have the disease? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or tape it to the bottom of a tournament-quality indoor-outdoor ping-pong table with waterproof aluminum composition top, 4 deluxe paddles, and extra durable net.
And
ship it to... Hey, whatever happened to my telescope, Mayor? I thought that was in the works. Went in the tank, huh? Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. I'm calling you from Dallas, Texas, and my name is Lisa Carr.
Lisa.
No joke.
Lisa, you used to be on our staff,
Carr,
you
were on our very staff.
I've heard that, and I'm really upset that I haven't gotten a paycheck.
Nobody gets paid. We don't
paycheck?
Anybody. No. You have to sue if you want money from us.
That's a secret. Well.
Yeah, that's the secret, yeah.
Maybe you could just send me some donuts or something.
Call Chrysler. They know how to do this.
So what's up, Lisa?
Well, I have a 94 Saturn SL2.
Mm-hmm.
Took it in for a regular oil change, and afterwards the guy came out and said, we have some issues.
Mm. Issues.
Issues. Mm. Said, okay. And so he laid them out for me, 4 problems that need to be taken care of.
Okay, we'll rank them in order
of
severity.
My pen at the ready. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Indeed.
Right, and so I'll start with the highest priority and work down.
Go, okay. Go for it.
This car needs a throttle body service.
Okay.
Okay.
Number 2, it needs a coolant change.
Okay.
God, I feel like I'm on David Letterman. Number 3, the muffler is starting to rust. Should be replaced at some point.
Okay.
And number 4, the right back axle seal is seeping.
Okay.
He said those top two I should do, you know, kind of right away. The other two we can watch subsequent oil changes.
And they wanted $99 for the throttle body service.
Uh-huh.
And 68, Dallas, Texas, Dallas. 70, 100 and 400, 75 bucks for the coolant service.
Oh, no, you're way off. Throttle body was only 65 and the coolant change was only 50, to be 54.
Excellent.
Now, oh. I don't have a problem with this because I'm like, these guys are straight up guys. I'm like, next time I bring it in, we'll do it all. So then I get the car, they wash it for me, I go away. And I notice that when I push on the accelerator, it feels kind of strange. But subsequently, in the next couple of days, I notice now when I get in the car and I accelerate, the car stutters, kind of jerks forward a bit, you know, before it kind of kicks in. And it happens when I'm at low RPMs or when I'm shifting gears or if I'm geared too high. Once I get up to speed, like I'm on the freeway, it feels fine.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm not saying that anything, that they did anything, because these are good guys, but I just think the timing is a little interesting. So my question is, you know how that laundry list of four things?
Yeah.
Could this be related to one of those four things? And if not, what could possibly happen during an oil change that might make it happen?
Well, I should start by saying that I think that when they gave you this list, they were very honest and correct about the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the fact that they aren't charging you an arm and a leg to do these things, as my brother would do if you took it to his place.
Well, there's many industrial accidents every year. Insurance rates are high. Yeah, no customers allowed in the shop.
I mean, I was gonna say
all sales are final.
before you mentioned the business of the muffler and the axle seal, I was going to say, gee, I wouldn't have even put these things on any list, and at least they got them at the bottom. And then you said they told you not to worry about these things, which is exactly what I would have said to you, too. But now, what did they do to sabotage your car?
You guys are going to get me a big, you know, big trouble with them now.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know that they did anything, but that's what they. But of course, they were. All they did was change the oil in the filter. What could happen?
Well, when you asked them why you needed a throttle body service, maybe he noticed something. Here's what happened. I got it.
The guy pulled it in to do the oil change.
No, and there was nothing wrong with it. He pulls it out after doing the oil change and takes it around the block. He's going to park
to
it.
To see how much oil leaks out.
Right,
that's how they test to see if they put the drain plug
right,
in.
Right, to look for that pool of oil.
They drive it around the block with the mirrors so they can see how much oil is left on the ground.
And maybe he noticed that, in fact, it was doing this little stuttering. And he says, oh, Lisa needs a throttle body service.
Yeah.
What they could have done was knocked off a vacuum hose. Or you could have a bad spark plug wire.
Hmm.
So it could be coincidental.
I'm assuming that it is.
I'm assuming that it is, too. I'd be willing to bet that he maybe even misdiagnosed it. I'd be willing to bet you need a spark plug wire. Or you have a fouled plug or some such thing, which is unrelated to anything they did.
And yet,
you can blame them if you want.
I mean, it's one of those things that you can't really believe. How can it happen that out of the infinite number of seconds that there are in the universe, that this throttle body could have died?
Well,
that
Lisa,
it happened, happened at that very moment.
I'm very interested to find out what his explanation is, because if it's any good, I want to be able to use it. See you, Lisa.
Thanks
for your call.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For calling.
1-888.
You noticed that she brought up, I think she said, we have automotive issues.
Yes.
She must be one of those psychologist types.
No, the dealer said that to
her.
Oh,
the dealer used that term.
It was the dealer that...
Did we miss a seminar?
Yeah. We missed a decade.
I think we missed one of those seminars. Issues.
Issues.
We have some issues to discuss with you about your car.
Well, it sounds serious right off the bat. Instead of saying...
It sounds like psychotherapy.
I think you've got some problems with your car. Doesn't that sound better?
It does.
We have some issues.
Yeah, which we'd like to discuss.
Yes, and resolve, hopefully.
And resolve, hopefully.
Yes. Without violating anyone's space. If you'd like to call us and violate our space, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Chris Collins from Rockville, Maryland.
Rockville.
Good God, you never heard of it, did you?
Of course we've heard of Rockville. Are you kidding?
Yeah, Rockville, Illinois. No, Rockville, Maryland is as popular as Pueblo, Colorado.
It's a nice place.
Anyway, Chris, what's up?
Well, in Rockville, we have a Pike that is basically an 8-lane parking lot.
Uh-huh.
And a couple times I had this problem with my car. It's a 86 Acura. And I was driving along one day in traffic, really hot, about 95 degrees. And
86 Acura Integra or Legend?
Integra. I go to step on the brakes and stop, and slowly they kind of go a little. Every time I step on the brakes, it goes a little further to the floor, and pretty soon, all the way to the floor, and nothing. Won't break anything. So I start to pump it, and I get the pressure back, and then it'll break. But then I let it go, and 30 seconds later, there's nothing.
And you were in bumper-to-bumper stop-and-go traffic.
A life-threatening situation. But then, so I have a friend who's a mechanic, and I took it to him. He checked it out, said everything looked fine.
Wait, was this person a friend first and a mechanic second, or a mechanic first who became a friend? Which is, by the way, would be a first. So I presume it's the other way around.
Yes.
Okay.
But he checked it out, and it only happened a second time when it was the same situation. Otherwise, the brakes were fine.
You were in real stop-and-go traffic, literally stopping and going.
Yes.
For how long?
But before that, you had been in high-speed traffic.
No, not really. Just hardly taking traffic lights, probably for about 45 minutes.
Yeah. What happened is that the brake fluid boiled, and I'm trying to figure out why. I haven't figured that out yet. I'm figure if I keep talking, my brother will figure it
well,
out.
Well, I
but he's letting me down.
Well, I have
it shouldn't have.
It shouldn't have.
And I think it's because I might as well get us into trouble.
Stick your neck right out.
I'm going to stick my neck right out. I think it's something to do with the wacko braking system that Acura uses.
My brother apologizes. He shouldn't have said that.
Otherwise, it's a great car.
My brother apologizes for having given birth to him. Well, I think my part of my brother's statement is right, and it isn't the second part.
It was the part that said, in my opinion.
I think the brake fluid may be boiling, and I think it's due to the fact that you have a faulty power brake booster.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, and I'll tell you why.
You got a stuck caliper, man.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I
think the booster's staying on with repeated application of the brakes. And ordinarily, you drive the car, and you probably don't step on the brakes more than a few times in a given day.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're stuck in this traffic, you're going, stopping. If you had a stuck caliper, it would be stuck. It would stay stuck. It would be getting worse and worse and worse every day.
But why?
And the reason that your friend couldn't find anything wrong was that a caliper wasn't stuck because you don't have a stuck caliper now that the booster has recovered. Tell your friend to do this. We try to keep him shut up as much as possible. Constantly interrupting him is just one step away from shoving a sock down his throat.
What's that remote switch that's connected to the microphone? But why would repeated application cause the booster to stay on?
Well, I don't.
You haven't worked on that have you? You were hoping, you were trying to shut me up so I wouldn't ask you that question. Admit it.
No.
Fess up.
The problem is either in the booster or the master cylinder, and I'm going to suggest that it's very easy for your friend to figure it out. First of all, he has got to reproduce the symptoms, and he's going to reproduce it by pumping the brake pedal several hundred times with the car on the lift.
Yeah.
At which point, he's probably going to notice that more than one wheel is stuck. If it's just one, it could be something as simple as a stuck or constricted brake hose. But when he determines, for example, that two front wheels are stuck or one front and one rear, you got to start doing some detective work. And the first thing he should do is unbolt the master cylinder from the booster. If all of a sudden the problem is fixed, then the problem is the booster. If the problem isn't fixed, then you have to start undoing individual brake lines at the wheels to see where the problem is. But I suspect he's going to find that it's the booster. And I suspect when the pedal was on the floor, the car had difficulty even moving because the brakes were stuck on. I suspect.
Is that true?
No, the brakes wouldn't work at all.
No, the brakes wouldn't work, but do you feel that the car moved as readily when you were experiencing this condition?
Yes.
Oops. As is often the case,
question.
You always have to have a bailout position. When one is traumatized like this, reality gets distorted dramatically. So I think Chris was in such a traumatized condition.
He didn't realize he was flooring the gas pedal and going 6 miles an hour.
You didn't even notice it. Well, the other thing is my wife was in the car and her nails were dug in the back of my neck. So that could be true.
That'll do it too.
Well, I mean, I think that pretty much eliminates the brake booster theory.
No, it doesn't eliminate the brake booster theory because I think he has distorted reality. Have your mechanic try to reproduce this. If he can't, then for good measure,
replace the master cylinder.
Okay.
I think so.
I have another minor problem.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Oh, what the heck?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in my car. I leave. I don't drive it for a couple days. I get back in.
What kind of a car do you have, Chris?
And all the cassettes are mysteriously out of the case. They're all separated, laying everywhere. The only thing I can figure out is it's my wife. And I was wondering if there's some kind of a Dale Carnegie course or special training for her so you know, she could learn how to put the cassettes back in the cases, or maybe a course for me to take care of my anal compulsive behavior.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, for years, it took me
Why don't you ask us this question first? I mean, this was much more interesting.
Much more interesting. I mean, who cares about whether or not you have brakes?
Yeah, so what if you get killed with no brakes? This is the issue.
You keep
here.
The cassettes in the case, huh?
Yeah.
In the case.
I did before I married
her. You might be the only person in the world who does that.
I used to do that, and I liberated myself some years ago by throwing away all the cases.
I, too, am. I think I'm going through this anal compulsive stage of my life. I have been cleaning out my garage for about 2 months now. And I spent this past weekend building a device so I can hang scrap wood from the rafters.
Which you should have thrown out 10 years ago. My father had a brilliant
suggestion.
No, I
shouldn't have, because I used the scrap wood
to build
a device.
Right. But my father suggested a more efficient method of cleaning out his garage. It involved a gallon of gasoline and a match. Anyway, Chris, good luck with your car. Good luck with your tapes.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
It's been a pleasure.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Racine, Sardine, Lima Bean, Ovaltine, Lean Cuisine, Summer Scene, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our arbitration expert is Viola Fuss. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our interior decorator is Perry Winkle. Our executive coach is Russell Papas. The director of our Alpine Choir is Leo Leahy. And our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luca Davindo. Our Puerto Vallarta transmission specialist is Cinco de Mayo. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the CIA operatives posing as boutique chocolatiers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1527, download other time-wasting episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we answer all of your questions about road trips in the summer.
That's right. What's worse than breaking down in Death Valley in the middle of July? Breaking down in Death Valley in the middle of July with your mother-in-law in the back seat.
Don't even say it.
So before you head off into the wild asphalt yonder this summer, print out, or better yet, actually read a copy of our summer driving tips. It's got stuff you should do before and during your trip.
Like carry a bus ticket.
For you, yes. That's Car Talk's complete summer driving tips, posted right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Uncle Sam starts beating his radio with his hat whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.